This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Speaking of eating, New York City's Department of Health is warning the public about a whole new threat, rim jobs. City's health agency has issued guidelines for safe sex practices during the pandemic, and they have specifically called out rimming as particularly dangerous.
Rimming. Don't eat ass, people.
Rimming. Don't. The public safety alert.
Remember the whole I eat ass movement? Time to stop it. Right now.
Yeah, don't eat ass. Yeah, don't be munching on butts, because the thing is, you could spread COVID-19 from manolingus. So
I feel in my heart there's nothing more Rob Riggle would rather follow
than the Sesame Street's
Don't Eat Ass.
Don't eat ass. Don't eat ass, people. Don't. Now's not the time.
Born April 21st in Louisville, Kentucky, and raised in Overland Park, Kansas, our next guest is a graduate of Shawnee Mission South and the University of Kansas and veteran of the United States Marine Corps who has built an acting career with scene-stealing performances in such films as Step Brothers, The Hangover, 21 Jump Street, Night School, and 12 Strong, as well as his work for Children's Mercy Hospital with The Big Slick. And now his Discovery Channel show, Rob Riggle, Global Investigator, is moving from Sunday to Thursday nights. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Rob Riggle.
Don't eat ass, Rob. Don't eat ass.
You know what? I'm telling you, that's just smart, sound advice. in these troubled times, we have to, cling to our foundations, and staying away from that ass buffet is probably the best thing you can do right now for each other. We're doing it for each other.
That's right. When this is over, guys, eat as much ass as you like, but just reel in the ass eating for a little while. The booty buffet.
That's right. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, we're all going to have to make sacrifices during this time. Mm-hmm. So that's just one thing we're all going to have to do. But like you said, it'll be back. It'll be back.
Yeah. It's such a weird. Is this not the weirdest time you could ever remember in all of your life?
It absolutely is. It is. It's surreal.
Yeah.
I thought I'd been through a couple things in my life. This is a new one. This is a new one.
Yeah. How many times were you overseas in the military, in the Army?
Oh, my gosh. In the Marines. And a bunch. A lot. Let's see. Twice for Afghanistan, Liberia, Kosovo, Albania. What is that, five? Right there?
All that. Hello? And it doesn't even compare to the weirdness, does it? I mean, obviously, those were much more dangerous times, but the just general overall weird as weird gets, this is as strange as it
gets. Yeah. And I worked on the rubble piles at 9/11 down at the World Trade Center. So
are you kidding me?
I thought I'd seen weird things, surreal things in my life, but this is all uncharted water. It's really... really bizarre. So I've been hunkered down for the last 13 days in my house. But it's, obviously, it's kind of weird, too, because there's no FOMO, fear of missing out, because nobody else can do anything either.
Right.
So we're all just kind of stuck at home, which is fine. I've been reading books and writing and clearing out my calendar. And, so I've been trying to make the most of it, but I can tell there's going to be a point where we're all going to go a little stir crazy.
Yesterday I went out and rode my motorcycle because it's the safe coronavirus-free thing you can do. You're social distancing at 70 miles an hour, and you just don't stop near anybody.
Yeah. Well, I follow you on Instagram, too, so you post great pictures. You're always very entertaining, so I always enjoy watching what you got going on. Yes, I've noticed.
May I go back to what you just mentioned that I didn't know about you, where you have now, you have just ruined the curve for everyone. I didn't know that you were at the down at 9/11 in the middle of that, at the rubble, when that happened 20-some years ago.
Well, I was living in New York on 9/11, and my reserve unit was in Manhattan, MTU-17. We were the only reserve unit in Manhattan. So when the attack happened, we were activated that night, actually, the night of September 11th, because they had closed all the bridge and tunnels.
Yeah.
So we got activated that night. I remember my boss, Lieutenant Colonel Brozak, called me and said, "Hey, meet down at One Police Plaza in your utilities. We're going to work." And so I said, "All right, sir." I was a captain at the time. We went down there. They gave us a little surgical mask, and we went to our positions. I worked on the southeast corner of Tower 2, or Tower 1, excuse me, Tower 1. There's a Burger King. It was all blown out. That was our staging area. So we dropped our gear there, and then we just went up onto the piles in the bucket brigades and started working. And on September 12th or 13th, I think it was, and we worked until like the 18th on the bucket brigades, 12 hours on, 12 hours God off, damn. Just moving rubble by hand. And then eventually they took us off the rubble piles when they could bring in the heavy machinery. And then I ended up working in One Police Plaza helping coordinate military civilian efforts until like October 1st. And then I volunteered to go back on active duty, and I got picked up on November 10th, reported to Central Command November 17th, and November 30th I was in Afghanistan.
God. I've known you a long time. I had no idea. 18 years ago, you were in the middle of all that. That's astounding. I'm, you know what I'm worried about when I hear that now? A, I'm obviously thankful for guys like you. But B, I think, man, what about your health? You read about all those guys that have gotten sick now from being down there. I worry about that for you.
Yeah, fingers crossed, knock on wood, but I haven't had any problems yet. So I hope that remains the case.
Well, don't eat ass.
Exactly.
Don't eat ass.
That was never part of my menu. Back in the
day. That's the key, man.
A big part of staying healthy.
It's just such a weird time. And by the way, this is why TV. At first, nobody wanted to do interviews about their TV shows, and I had friends who are comedians, and you know, like Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura, and they're like, "I don't know, don't you think it seems self-serving?" I go, "No, what do you think people are going to do at their houses? They have nothing else to do. They need to know when their good stuff is out there to go to watch." And that Global Investigator comes in. So the next episode is this the one we're down in Florida looking for treasure?
Yeah, we're down there looking for Black Caesar's treasure. And Black Caesar was one of the last pirates to ever exist, really, and definitely the last pirate off the Florida and Caribbean coastlines. He was notorious, and he was a bad dude, and he did a lot of damage and stole a lot of money, and he was quite the pirate. He was one to be feared. He was going all the way up until, let's call it the 1830s.
That's
so,
fantastic.
You know, that was very late in the game, considering most of them were, you know, the heyday of pirates is in the late 1600s, early 1700s. So, anyway, yes, we're hot on the trail of finding Black Caesar's treasure. Very fun episode. And they mixed up their schedule. The Discovery Channel did kind of a shuffle with their schedule during this time. So what does that mean? That means normally I was on Sunday night. Now the show has been moved to Thursday night starting next Thursday. Not this Thursday, next Thursday, April 2nd. And I think they're going to do a kind of a Global Investigator block.
Good.
So I think you're going to be able to see episode 1, episode 2, which was the Holy Grail, and Atlantis.
See, so, I love this stuff.
My search for Atlantis, my search for the Holy Grail, and then you'll see Black Caesar. So it's kind of like a rock block, to go back to some old DJ terms.
Right.
It'll be a rock block of Global Investigator on the Discovery Channel next Thursday, April 2nd.
See, I love this.
And please, I encourage people to watch it. It's a fun show. You're going to learn something. You're going to have some laughs. And you're going to help me out in a big way.
Well, look,
I appreciate it.
I mean, these shows, like, it's especially when you get into the stuff like shipwrecks, like Black Caesar, which it's because the Atosha got pulled up from Florida. That was the biggest shipwreck take ever. Brian Johnson from AC/DC has a gold coin from the shipwreck Atosha. And it's, being a diver, we've all talked about that. Like, you know, what you see. And then the double down for me is I'm a huge pirate history nerd, and there's one pirate museum, and I think it's in Tampa, Florida, and there's almost no Jolly Rogers, and people don't even know there were all these different kinds of Jolly Rogers, all these different kinds of pirate flags, but they would immediately burn them, though nobody took the flag. So there's almost no real pirate memorabilia out there. There's one or two real, absolutely verified Jolly Rogers out there, and the rest have all been destroyed. And
yeah, it is amazing, obviously, I'm more of a comedian, so I try to have fun with it. But, you know, I'm talking to experts in the field of archaeology and history and, you know, pirate history and pirate and treasure hunters. You know, we go scuba diving there in the Florida Straits on some Spanish galleons.
Nice.
And we find some amazing stuff. It's a cool episode. I think you'll learn a lot and have some fun. It's cool.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is where was this stuff when I was a kid that where you went? It was also boring, you know, the way they would shoot documentaries, or it was just shot so 60 minute style that you needed a guy like a Rob Riggle who could get you interested not just in scuba diving but in history and pirates and Spanish galleons and recovered treasure and how everything works and archaeology. And that if you can start that kind of fun, cool curiosity in a kid, man, you go anywhere with that.
Yeah, I remember as a kid watching God, what was it? Marlon Perkins.
Yeah, Wild Kingdom.
Mitchell of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And that was it as far as this kind of stuff went. And it was always so funny because Marlon was, you know, he was getting advanced in age, and he would pull up on the Serengeti in a Jeep and say, "My partner Jim is going to get out and investigate the lion."
That's right. That's right.
Poor Jim would have to get out. He'd have to look on Jim's face like, "I am? Oh, shoot." And he would have to get out. And Marlon would stay in the vehicle talking to the camera. And my family and I used to just die laughing. Poor Jim. He was always getting exposed to danger.
So what are you going to do? You're going to hunker down. You're in Los Angeles and die. By the way, your family here, everybody's okay. I'm sure they're all taken care of. But if they were to need something at all, one of us from here would definitely drop anything off, anything that they would need.
Everybody's good.
Okay.
We're very, very happy. We're all hunkered down, doing what they say. You know, I watched this great documentary on the coronavirus on the Discovery Channel last night, actually. But it was really great. It had the origin story, where it came from, what's going on. And my takeaway from the whole thing was an hour long. I felt much more educated about the virus. But the takeaway was, listen to what the doctors are telling. The social distancing, the washing of your hands, coughing into your sleeve, all this stuff. It will make a huge difference.
Sure.
It will make a huge difference. So I think everybody's doing the right thing, you know, as far as social distancing and this kind of self-inflicted or self-quarantine, it's going to work. It's going to help. It's
sure,
definitely
will.
Make an impact.
Guys, we'll all be back to normal.
You know,
we'll be back to normal. You had to go to Afghanistan. You had to go to all these war-torn places, put yourself in real danger. You were down there at 9/11 clearing that rubble. And you think all that we have to do is go home and watch television, wash your goddamn hands. We have a chance to change history of the world. And all we were asked to do is go home and take some time off work. Hell, turns out the government may send you checks. I'd say we can do this if we can just, you know, just get past ourselves for a moment and just pay attention.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I bitch all the time about, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. I can't do this. I can't do that. And, oh, if I only had some time, I would, because I got books all over my desk.
Sure.
I read all these books.
Sure.
I'm on my fourth book, I'm kicking butt in that way. I'm catching up on emails. I'm calling friends. I'm having long conversations with my parents. It's nice. It's take advantage of it, because this time, you know, when everybody goes back to normal, everybody's going to not want to go back, probably because they'll just start to get into a routine of doing what they want and knocking off that to do list. So
you know what it's like here.
Make the most of it.
What's here is really neat. Oops. You see people in their yards with their kids. People are practicing social distancing, but the weather was nice yesterday. So what you're seeing is people are going out in their yard, they're walking their dogs, they're jogging, but you see, and they're very nice, but all of a sudden humanity feels like it's changed. It's crazy. They're telling you to stay in your house, but you're seeing more people outside, but yet practicing social distancing. And I don't know how to explain it, but like I was out riding the motorcycle, and I was telling these guys a story. I mean, it was a straight Norman Rockwell moment. I was up by the land, and I came around and went wide and went up by this other farm. And there's a little kid about 10 years old with a goddamn yellow lab running behind him, maybe 6 months old. And the kid's on a bicycle heading to the pond. And I'm like, all that's missing is the Little House on the Prairie music keying up. And I go, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. That's what we need to do. Go stand by the pond by yourself. Go fishing. I rode around Wyandotte County Park yesterday, and I realized fishermen out there, best social distancing I've ever seen. Everybody was about 100 yards apart. Nobody was screwing with anybody. They're solitarily out there just fishing and getting by.
I think that's amazing and true and awesome. I hope everybody does that. That's exactly what's needed. And you know what's funny, too, is social media, obviously, is very prevalent in our world and our life. And so you see everybody making all these videos and, I'm making my quarantine video. Well, that ran its course for the first 10 days. And now even social media is like, they're just kind of putting it down. It's like, put it down and go face to face with somebody again. It's nice.
Nikki's been doing. They've been having what they call driveway drinking. Nobody can leave their own driveway, but they're on a cul-de-sac, so they just all talk across the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It's like the olden days when you grew up and your neighbors actually hung out and talked to each other from yard to yard.
Yes.
I love it. We're being forced back to the basics a little bit, especially for the younger generation who has no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. It is nice to go out and thank God for Disgrace Lance. That gives me a place to just walk around and just appreciate everything. But, man, everybody, don't forget Global Investigator Rob Riggle. Make sure you watch it. The Rock Block, as it were, when they put it all together next Thursday, and it's the beginning of April at 8 o'clock on Discovery. And, man, just be safe. And again, I know your family's covered, but for any reason, anything were to come up, you know, you can always reach out to us and you know, we could always drop food or whatever off. I'll go mow their lawn. It's fine.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you. I appreciate that. And before we wrap up, I do want to give a quick shout out to the doctors and nurses over at Children's Mercy Hospital. They are, and not just them, but all hospitals in Kansas City and the United States. You know, not only are they trying to deal with this coronavirus, there's still other illnesses and injuries and things coming in. And they still have to keep themselves out there and exposed. Sure. And, you know, I'm so proud of them and grateful to them. They're heroes, and just want to give a shout out to them.
No, those guys and truck drivers, people, for the first time you think about now, if you know, all these runs on the stores and toilet paper and the ridiculous hoarding that you're seeing, and you go, who do you think brought that stuff? Somewhere about that beginning of the 80s, we turned our back on blue collar and truck drivers and the railroad. Yeah. And we, you know, we came a three-piece suit was the only thing you wanted to wear to work, and calluses became the sign of somebody less than. And you realize who's holding the fabric of this country together right now. It would come completely unraveled without all these workers. All these people that you think are somehow servants, they're not servants. They're the backbone. They're the guys who created this.
Yeah, they're what makes life possible. Absolutely agree.
And anything you need, my friend, and it's great to hear your voice. And I think it's just great for this city to hear you, Rob, because it just reminds us, man, we're all in this together. We're all doing the same thing. There's not some island that the celebrities and the wealthy and the famous all went off to where they're just partying away. It's no, you're in your place, we're in ours, and everybody's just waiting for it to pass.
That's right. And stay healthy, my friend.
That's what I was telling Bob Zack. Everyone should just breathe, not on each other.
Exactly. I love it.
Stay right there. go back and talk about how we just found out Rob Riggle was also at Ground Zero, 9/11, 18 years ago, working for a month on the rubble piles?
Along with all the other incredible things he's done in his life.
All the other fight with the Marines.
Work with Children's Mercy.
No, every time. It's just, you know what? The world cannot give him enough back. And I really do mean that. Mm-hmm. Like, all the things that guy did before he ever became famous in any way, before ever was rewarded by the universe, by karma. But there can be no repayment. And I mean that. Like, he's one of the nicest, most decent, most hardworking human beings you'll ever meet in your life. And he's the real deal, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's already got... He had the medals, man, all right? Before he played the guy in the movie. He had the real ones and the patches, the time and the term. It's he's ridiculous.